jumped around a little, and I know there are some questions on things like reusing PowerPoint slides, and so maybe we'll talk about that for a little bit. There was the question brought up earlier about how do we go about giving permission or getting permission to use full or partial presentations? And I think that happens across extension and in classroom instruction as well. Anybody have any other specific experiences with this that you'd like to voice? And we that can start off our discussion here.
We soon discovered that we not only had to worry about the slides themselves, but every single image that was used anywhere in the presentation, and it gets to be a lot of fun reviewing all those, if they're conservative properly, or potentially putting it off on the original author, then it was their responsibility upon upload for that to all be there. So it's been exciting to try to play with that. But there are other things people have run into in presentations for what they're concerned about sharing.
That actually combines two of our case studies. You'll notice this is a PowerPoint about everything. So there are so many folks who licensing and over scripts for PowerPoint presentations. The key, very often use of images is going to be fair use. I spend a whole lot of time in my staff notes on clearing images for using in presentations and especially in social media. And most of the time we don't get permission for two reasons. It's much One of them is going to be fair use. And that's if the image is something you're really talking about, if you've got a PowerPoint about tomatoes and you want to show, or about bees, and you want to show what the bee's body is, or you want to show what a particular type of tomato the woman is, you need an image for that. And that's something where it's going to be very useful. If you're putting in a pretty seed catalog copy, a picture from that's under copyright in the 1980s, just because it'll make you want to make the presentation a little bit more interesting, that's less likely to be fair use. So you want to look at whether or not the image is really essential to the point that you're trying to make, or it's just there for illustration to make it more interesting. And so I think I'm at least trying to get my people trained to really talk about something. And then I'm more likely to say, yes, I'm absolutely going to be fair use. And this doesn't go to presentations, but there is a general rule that if the image is small enough, and the technical term is thumbnail, we will approve, the courts have been pretty clear that the thumbnail is going to be fine. We have something called shelfies. If you're showing an array of books, an array of seed catalogs or seed packets, then it's not a substitute in the same way. And so that's something else that's likely to be, we're going to hold to be fair use. And when I talked about there are a lot of things out there that are, if you want to use your illustration, that are in the public domain. Even Getty Images, which can be very, very aggressive as a copyright holder. It's a stock photo agency. And Getty has given very generous rights to millions of stock photo images to be used online. And that's one place to look. You can look at things that are Creative Commons licensed. You can look at, there's a part of Flickr called Flickr Commons, which includes a lot of government images and a lot of museum images that have been put into the public domain. So you can always look for things that are in the public domain. But images can be a little bit tricky. whether or not you can blame the person who originally wrote the slides is another issue altogether. Do we have number six up there?
We do.
So case study six is exactly where we started. You're loading out your PowerPoint, or you're bringing it, you're putting it in a repository for others to use. More power to you. That's, how many times do we all keep reinventing the same PowerPoints? Let's share this. We can share our knowledge. When I talk about risk assessment, there's risk assessment in getting sued, but there's also risk assessment in not furthering omissions. And if an omission of an extension service is to get information out there, then sharing our knowledge, including our time is limited, and let's not spend it rewriting the same PowerPoints if we can give each other permission to use them. And that's a whole other risk and benefit that kind of deficiency. But what you need to do when you're setting up that common repository is coming up with some rules. Just when you submit, say, I have permission. I have the right to submit this. So that does give you that protection that whoever is submitting it has the right, not A, has the right to submit it, and B, he's giving you the right to do this kind of work with it. So you can say, I'm going to license this. You can use a CC license, a Creative Commons license. I'm licensing this for use for educational purposes by other extension services.
I would back that up by saying, if we start setting a habit of getting permission and giving permission clearly, it's going to get a lot easier for everybody to know where everybody stands. We kind of got ahead of ourselves with, just because we could photocopy something didn't mean we had the right to. Just because we can now download it and send it to all of our best friends doesn't mean that we have the right to. So we're just catching up with, where's the balance there with what's good for society and what's really unfair to the person who's depending on that object for a revenue stream. They put their effort into it, they should get something back for it.
It's also all about relationships. I can, my PowerPoint, I may need your PowerPoint next week.
So isn't there's fair use in education purposes? So if I remember correctly, that I can utilize a photo like once if I'm giving a PowerPoint presentation to a kindergarten room or to a class. But then if I take that PowerPoint and I give it to Emily and she uses it for something else, that's now not being used once, but it could be used like multiple times. So the first time I use it, it's fair use for educational purposes. But then if I perpetuate this image in a PowerPoint that I send out to all the master gardeners in the state of Minnesota or whatever, then that's no longer fair use because I haven't gotten permission to use it multiple times. Am I right on that?
Maybe. because it may still be fair use. If it is a picture of that lighted tomato and there isn't another substance, they're using another appropriate substitute picture, then what you described actually goes to the question of risk. There is zip risk sitting in front of a class of master gardeners face to face. Nobody cares. If I were to take that same PowerPoint and start and publish it, best practice for master gardeners or whatever, your risk goes way up and you're more likely and it's also less likely to be fair use. So you start looking at that. But there's that interim of I want to take my PowerPoint and I'm going to put it in the repository for other master gardeners in Minnesota. That's gonna be somewhere in the middle of that continuum, and you start looking at did you provide appropriate credit? So where you got the picture of the tomato blight from?
Do you have other alternatives? Are you making money off of it, or is it a purely educational use? Is this something that is from a book on tomato blight, so that this is their major market? Are you swiping this slide from somebody that has education, that's an educational program itself, in kind of that is now, so that you're biting into their market? So again, maybe. and you need to look at all of those facts. I'm sorry, I don't have anything clear here.
Yeah.
Can I
address
it? Oh, yeah.
So how about an accessory in, so I have a university in Minnesota. And so what happens if it's like within University of Minnesota Extension, we've had instances where we have borrowed each other's photographs, not given attribution, because we all get kind of lazy. And somebody asked me for the slide and I just handed them over. And so we had an issue where someone wasn't given attribution for their picture within the organization. But they were kind of paid to take these pictures. So it wasn't, they didn't have the copyright kind of, they were getting paid. How do I describe it? They were getting paid as part of the job to take these pictures. So the assumption was that it was kind of University of Minnesota's copyright, and so anybody within the university, yes, we should have given them attribution. That was a group. But it's okay for them to then come back and say, you can never, ever use any of my pictures ever again. They are mine, and that's it. So it got a little messy within the university. Does that make sense?
It's all about people. It's all about relationships.
Not what you think.
You describe a situation that sounds like someone was teen, that may or may not have had a legal right to be teen, that may or may not if the university hired him to do this, to create this library of images and body of images for the library, for use within the university, they probably didn't have a legal right. But they're good at dealing with it. And that's the problem, you just find them here and say, I'm really sorry, it won't happen again.
It sounds to me too like we all within our organizations need to come up with just some kind of a contract, something that describes how it's supposed to work, how we all agree to share these images or share these presentations, and that way it's not a surprise to anyone. And does anyone have a system like that they work within that is working pretty well? Was it the system that you described when you first asked the question?
We think it's going well. We've been doing it for 24 years, but I am perpetually amazed at people's misconceptions about what they can and cannot do. And
like with the presentation.
Well, using a picture.
Okay.
And thinking about all that number in the corner, that's the citation. No, it's not. It says it clearly all over the site. Here's how you're supposed to do it. If we have that miscommunication or that misunderstanding with people using the picture, I'm almost afraid to ask our photographers what they thought they were doing when they were submitting pictures. And so what level do I need to, well, on the page it says this, so I covered my rear, I guess, but do I have to go to the point of having written permission forms in a digital world for every single person who ever gives me a piece of content? We do a lot of risk analysis of so how much trouble we're going to be in if this were to come back to bite us.
I think it does get back to having an agency and organization. A departmental policy written down somewhere. You know, it may not protect you 100% against 100% of the stuff that that's out there, but if everybody knows how you function, how you operate, and a group of reasonable-minded people would interpret it the same way, that will go a long way toward defending you against complaints or worst-case lawsuits. But if it's just what everybody feels like on any given Tuesday, your risk is way up there when you were feeling the number one day and somebody else wasn't. Communication and documentation really help.
Do you, oh, sorry, go ahead.
A question related to the use of extension publication. Say you get an image that you have fair use to as a non-a pulse. You're providing a database for use by other extension people. We're in an era of cost recovery. Our folks want to charge for everything. Does that then change what is fair use if we're now charging a fee or a booklet for a PowerPoint or whatever?
It becomes part of the calculus, but not necessarily.
Thank you.
And that's a question of that goes back to acting like human beings and sticking up for yourself. And protecting yourself, you basically sounds like what you described with your PowerPoints is a form of very basic technological protection. I'm just not going to get out of here. And that is a loss to everybody. That is a loss to the people who could use your information with permission and by giving that appropriate level of credit and instead are spending this is probably taxpayer funds to recreate it.
To recreate a different version of the same thing because, again, that's not copyrighted. So they're remaking.
Yeah, question up front.
Well, this over the years at the University of Wisconsin, PhD thesis, master's thesis, the students always put copyright on their name. What does that mean? As a major professor, I had a major investment in the editing and writing of that thesis. Does that give them any rights? And to my knowledge, also doing is sticking that at the bottom of the thesis.
Yeah. Right now, there's an issue with universities now saying you want to go back and digitize the last 15 years of theses, and do we have the right to do that? How much of the work is the students? How much to the degree you act as their advisor? Does it rise to the level of copyright, what's called a joint work, where you work on something with someone with the expectation that they be merged into a single product, so that it's not like a magazine where there are numbers of separate articles, but it's a single product.
I'd also say that I've been at conferences where it was actually advised that you stick that little seal on there just to kind of state your territory. You may not actually have the copyright, but better to have put that there and tried to claim it and have somebody shoot you down later than leave it ambiguous. So I think they were probably taking that to the extreme of, until somebody tells me it's not my copyright, I'm going to claim my copyright.
But since 1989, it has not been legally required. And it doesn't give you a whole lot of protection. Yes. Now with the light first, and then
I'm still not understanding. That's my first question in response to what he said. He told me I'm wrong.
Anything you write is copyright. That's what I'm saying. Adding a symbol to it is not required. It doesn't give you any particular protection.
I understood his question to mean that the student thought they were copyrighting it by adding a symbol.
Yeah, it gives them no additional protection.
They're already protected.
It's already protected. Yeah.
Thank you.
Unless they were doing this prior to 1989, they have to.
Question?
I have a question about situation. We have a newsletter for whistleblowers, and our growers are very interested in knowing the weather information in our state. And we had a website that created very nice. Temperatures in the past, they created very nice pictures, and this year their website is open access. It is open access, so everyone can see it. If we put that pictures in our newsletter to give them to our listeners, and in the pictures they created, they already have their name of their organizations, their website, all is in that picture. So if we use those pictures, we'll be automatically found that picture. We're going to ask if you have any questions.
That's a little bit shaky. You can certainly make an argument for that fair use if there's the argument is that if it's something that's not a commercial, it's not Roman.com, it's not a commercial service. It's also not, you'd be much safer using a mail map or a web map that's produced by the government that you may actually have the right to use. But that image is, it really depends on where the image came from again and what you're using it for. It sounds like you're using it to provide information, but when you talk about it as an image rather than reproducing a factual table, you're setting off the little flashy warning lights of, because if I'm taking somebody else's image of a sunrise to show that it was a lovely going in July, the more for today, then you're manufacturing a copyright image that's starting to sound like pretty picture rather than conveying the information. And that's what's off my little warning bells for papers.
Okay, so
but on the other hand, if your newsletter goes to 200 people and is handed out, it's not digital, it's probably worse.
It is digital, but I was thinking already have the website and the name of those organizations. So is that not a difference?
Is there a reason you can't use the link?
Yeah,
because if you send them back to the source, you're sending them back to the source, they're getting superior data because they're getting more up to date information.
Mm-hmm.
And you're serving your community better without that risk.
Good, thanks. Any other questions? We have about 5 minutes left. Really, any questions that you have about any of these topics? Yes. What was the recommendation?
Ask for a donation.
There you go. Or maybe a link on the under the image back to the original source.
Well, that was the one thing. We started putting our logos on the images. And then the because we noticed they were new. And then the
And then there's cropping that anybody can do to crop that out if they want to.
Is it wrong to crop those numbers in the
donation and really don't stop, just tell them to stop. Because they know they're being
Republishing that, they have made their risk assessment. And you have to tell them that their risk assessment, their judgment is off.
Mm-hmm. I'm confused the direction that's going because what I'm talking about is the image that has the number 135671.
Oh, I'm answering an earlier question. I'm back to answering your original question of these people who are taking my work and should I be flattered or annoyed? The answer is yes.
Okay. Since I dropped 135671. But I do say this photo was provided courtesy of Gerald Simmons of wood.org and cited the way that they asked it to decide if that's okay.
And I think there's someone behind you that can answer that, right?
We explicitly, on our image use stuff, say, cut the tag off, it's but ugly, make sure you cite the picture. We put it all over everything, and it's not an uncommon question. So, you are welcome to reuse as long as you cite the photographer as you make it. All the photographers have agreed to that.
And I think we have time for one more question.
No, I think this is a good one. Based on what we talked about here, everybody obviously shares information online. And right now, we are all using digital footprints to identify information, who said what, who shared what. We all share a lot of things. We all have all kinds of digital footprints out there. Now, the question is, when we get out there to do data sourcing, data mining process, we don't know who shared what. Because this is that they were saying these things. We don't even so how do we handle that situation for risk assessment? Your answer will help me big time because I'm putting a proposal together in English language. Thank you very much.
And I would bounce it to the gentleman in the plaid shirt who says he's reviewing research methodologies determining whether or not to publish. And the idea is you need to be transparent about what the research methodology is and what those sources. And
what's your answer? Well, my comment was, as a solicited reviewer of manuscripts, if the editor sent me this paper and there was this data that now people appear that was analyzed by the students, they wouldn't have described their methodology, so the paper would get rejected. And so, if you're using something that doesn't magically appear, and in peer-reviewed journal, that's going to be a problem. Now, in a proposal, having reviewed some of those as well, usually in an area where I know a great deal, if you're just plagiarizing something and not telling where it came from, you encounter the same problems. You're not creating something new. So, when the system works entirely, it's self-correcting.
Great. Thank you for that. We are at the end of our time. I would like to thank Hope O'Keefe and Vicky Crone for helping us out with some of these issues today. I appreciate also your input and your questions. I encourage you to join the Intellectual Property Rights Group on the ASHS website. We are trying more and more to keep these kinds of conversations going and make a place where we can discuss this because obviously there's no one answer to any of these questions. And it's all about communication and understanding the expectations of people that own intellectual property and those who want to use it. So I encourage you to join the group and we'll keep this conversation going. We are having our business meeting directly after